coming in as Lou Hewitt-Dyke centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flame.
Eckers, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It is Wednesday, March 26th. My name is Pat Steinberg with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. Welcome to the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Mr. Gilbertson, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I am doing well. This hour of Flames Talk and every hour of Flames Talk available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget that Flames Talk is also the Flames Talk podcast feed, also your exclusive home of your Flames Talk postgame show and the brand new Flames Alumni Chronicles. All of that is available for you on the Flames Talk podcast feed. So the Flames have won 4 in a row, Wes, and they're sticking right in this playoff race. And I think, you know, you could make an argument one way or the other that St. Louis has got a better statistical chance of making the playoffs, or Calgary's got a better statistical chance of making the playoffs, if those are the two teams that it's going to come down to. But let's say this. I think it is fair to say the Flames have as good a chance as any of the teams still in the race, or a better chance than some of being a playoff team. I would say it's pretty darn equal at this point. When you take a look at games played and everything that exists right now, I think it's pretty equal shot that the Flames and Blues have of winning that eighth playoff spot in the Western Conference or the second wild card.
How do your favorite websites feel about it today?
Let me update you. Over at Money Puck, first of all, the Flames went up a little bit after the win on Tuesday night. Just Money Puck is loading, so I'll start instead with Hockey Reference. Right now, Hockey Reference has the St. Louis Blues at 62.9% to make the playoffs. They've got Calgary at 34.3% to make the playoffs. They've got Vancouver at 13.5% to make the playoffs. That's over at Hockey Reference.
Well, while you're at it, what do they have the minute? I know we're going to talk about the Minnesota Wild.
They have got Minnesota at 87% to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Money Puck, of course, is not loading right now, so that... I believe it was about 62% St. Louis, and I know it was 33% for Calgary when it comes to their playoff odds. Here, it's loading on my phone, so I will tell you that it is 33% for Calgary, 61.6% for St. Louis, 88.2% for Minnesota, then on the bottom end, 15.1% for Vancouver, and down to 3% for the Utah Hockey Club. So, essentially, all the same, up over 80 for Minnesota, up over 60 for St. Louis, over 30% for Calgary, and in the under 20% for Vancouver is what both Hockey Reference and Money Puck are showing when it comes to playoff probabilities with less than a month to go this season.
It's going to be fun.
It is.
And I agree with you. I think the Flames have as good a chance as anybody left in this race. Obviously, we've watched the wagon that the St. Louis Blues have become, and I think if you posted up at a wager counter in Vegas today and watched where the money was being laid, I think you'd see the St. Louis Blues as the favorite in that regard to claim that eighth spot if that's the way it remains. And yet, with three games in hand and playing the way they are, I think the Flames have every reason and right to feel just as good about themselves as anybody.
Yep. So, and the text line's open at 960-960. Would love to hear from you over the next little bit here on Flames Talk, because they have won 4 in a row. And the last three of them, I know there's this comeback win stat, which is fun. But I mean, It was a first period comeback against the New York Rangers. Was Tuesday a comeback win? Kind of, but then they had the lead, and then Seattle came back on them. But you know what? It's still a cool stat.
Still a come from behind win in my books. trailed in the third.
I will say this, without question, that's three straight wins that have been quite dramatic. Different way, different drama, full-on comeback against the Devils. Just a gutsy and pulling it out of the fire when you're definitely playing through some fatigue against the Islanders. Kind of one of those nights where maybe they were a little unlucky to be trailing and found a way not to let it get away on them against Seattle on Tuesday. And then, you know, the two straight overtime winners from Nazem Kadri, the game winner bar down from Huberdeau against the Devils. Like, you know, you've got a scenario here where both teams, I mean, all three of these last wins anyway, have come in very dramatic fashion. So my question on the text line is at 960-960. How are you feeling about the Flames now that they've rattled off four in a row? Because I know that there was not a lot of love for the way things were going after the 6-2 loss against Toronto. And honestly, even before that, there was the Vancouver loss. There was the Colorado loss. They weren't winning a lot of games at home. They were having a hard time stringing any amount of wins together. It was kind of win one, lose one. They'd been a 500 team for about 2 months until this four-game road trip. So now that they've rattled off four in a row, how are you feeling about this group? And I think it all depends on your mindset. Have you gone all the way, all in on, hey, let's just cheer for this team to make the playoffs? Are you still of the opinion that you'd rather see this team get a top 10 pick? That seems not fun. That seems like somebody betting on the under of a basketball game and hoping and hoping for, oh, no, no, it went in. I was hoping for that to go
not another
out.
Layup.
Oh, I want air balls. But you know what? Each to their own. I'm not going to judge anybody. But how do you, like, are you feeling
better about
that?
Felt judgment free, by the way.
I hope it felt judgment free. Are you feeling better, feeling worse about the way they're playing? And I mean, I'm feeling much better would be my answer. What about you?
You know, much better would certainly be my answer as well. Although it's funny how it can swing. Like in the second period of last night's game, it looked for a while like they were going to lay an egg in an absolutely crucial circumstance against the Seattle Kraken. Like for a while until Nazem Kadri ties things up with that power play goal and suddenly it turns into a bit of a scoring bonanza down the stretch in the third. You know, I thought the biggest storyline for a while in that hockey game last night was how the Flames somehow managed to botch a routine line change, which really turned for a while the momentum of the game, mm-hmm. right? Jake Bean goes to change. Two defense partners, I believe it was Uyghur and Hanley, both jumped to change for the same guy. Suddenly the Flames are on the penalty kill. They don't get the kill. It's 1-1. Jonathan Huberdeau, who we've been praising and rightfully so, misses on a routine 10-foot pass in the neutral zone. Kevin Ball and Rasmus Anderson are both kind of asleep at the wheel. All of a sudden, Ty Cartier is on a breakaway. And so that's how quick it can turn. And I don't want to sound like I'm savaging those guys because there's going to be mistakes at different points in a hockey game. And yet, you know, going into the third period last night, it felt like the Flames were at risk of doing a real amount of damage to their wild card hopes with a couple of unforced errors in that hockey game. And so while overall I do feel a lot better after these last four games about their chances, while I have just so much praise for the belief and the resilience and some of the buttons that have been pushed by Ryan Huska, certainly some of the response from their big guns as we talked about in our first segment today, the margin is still so slim, right? And I think what, like, the fact that I can point out those little miscues from last night, the too many men penalty, you know, and that's without kind of going through my notes to refresh my memory, the fact that those little moments are sort of seared in your memory tell you how small those margins are going to be from here until April 17th.
I'm feeling much better about it for a number of different reasons, because number one, we got 12 games left this year. There's less than a month to go. There's what, 3 weeks to go this season or whatever it is. The Flames, finish on a Wednesday or a Thursday? So I think it's a Thursday.
I believe it's Thursday, April 17th.
So it's 3 weeks this Thursday. So we're just over 3 weeks from the end of the season. I'm kind of done critiquing wins. Like, we still will. We'll still talk about those things. But, like, when the regular season transitions to the playoffs, you don't critique wins. Like, you just...
Are you trying to make me feel bad?
Not at all. But it's like, it's just win, baby, in the playoffs. And
sure.
You can be the second best team for seven straight games, but if you win four, you still win the series. And as Daryl Sutter always said, it's one of the biggest takeaways that I remember from Daryl Sutter's second tenure here. Is like, you can basically be a 500 team and win the Stanley Cup, right? You go 16 and 12 and win a Stanley Cup. You can get to a conference final going 8-6. You can do a lot of damage by just being a slightly above 500 team in the playoffs, right? So just win at this point. And so, yes, we can still talk about, oh, they were pretty fortunate to get away with that one, or, oh, Dustin Wolf saved their bacon, or whatever might have to happen between now and the end of the regular season. But, you know, the way that this group is embracing this challenge, the way that this group is rising to the occasion with some of their best players, you know, what you and I spoke on the phone a little earlier on this Wednesday, and your point was, and I completely agree with it. Like, you can tell this group is just genuinely enjoying being here. And you know, whether it's the veterans who have been here before, like Kadri and Coleman and others, whether it's guys who have been starving to get back to the playoffs, like Uyghur and Huberdeau, whether it's guys who have never been here before, from Morgan Frost, who's never played playoff hockey before, to young players like Dustin Wolf and Connor Zary and Matt Coronato, who have never been in the NHL playoffs before. Like, it just, you do get the sense that not only are they embracing this opportunity, but they're also really enjoying being in this spot and playing these types of games. And hey, you enjoy the wins. And hell, they sure did look like they enjoyed that Nazem Kadri game winner on Tuesday night, hey?
Yeah, as they should have. And there's a real, you know, I even think back to the funny line on Saturday from Jonathan Huberdeau. You know, I just want to get on the plane now and have a beer. Like, there's a real sort of relaxed demeanor around this group. And I think it's noteworthy because, and not to harp on that second period last night, but that crossed me to come out in the third period and compete the way they did and ultimately find a way to get 2 points out of that hockey game last night. I saw a group that was rising to the challenge rather than starting to feel some of the pressure. And while we expect that to be the case with Nazem Kadri, and it was, and we expect it to be the case with Jonathan Huberdeau and Blake Coleman, and I don't need to go through the whole list, you wonder about some of the young guys, right? You just wonder if you're going to see a little bit of the impact of, okay, you know, is Matt Coronato starting to feel the magnitude of this? And I thought it was game 100 for quite a while was a struggle for Matt Coronato, but how better to measure a player than how he finds a way to impact those big moments?
Yeah.
An absolutely massive face-off victory to set up Rasmus Anderson's 3-2 go-ahead goal. Yeah. You know, a great, it didn't even have to be a great pass, as you said, but it was a heads-up play to know Nazem Kadri was going jailbreak and you could spring him for a breakaway in overtime. And so, you know, I use Coronato as an example. I think we're certainly past the point of wondering how Dustin Wolf is going to react ever to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you give up a goal with 90 seconds left and suddenly it's a tie game again. And you could kind of see just the water dripping off the duck's back there, right? And so it's not just that the vibes are high or immaculate or however you want to put it, but it's the way you can see that this group is sort of embracing the challenge rather than feeling the weight of it. I think whether you're talking short term or big picture, and those are different discussions, but I think that's a good sign on either side of that ledger.
You asked the question to a couple people post game on Tuesday night. You know, you've got this nice run the Flames are on. They've won four in a row, but haven't made up any ground on St. Louis. It's kind of like, oh,
seven straight, and yeah. They just throttled Montreal last night.
Yeah, 6-1 ends up being the final score. And you asked that question to a couple guys, like, you know, you see what you're doing, but then you also see St. Louis going on this heater. How does that hit you? This was Nazem Kadri's response.
We're trying to hunt him down. I mean, that's really the main goal. We're looking at teams ahead of us, and, you know, if they continue to win, we're going to have to continue to win. You know, regardless, even if they lose, I don't think our mindset changes a whole lot. We're out there trying to, you know, win every single game we're in. It's, you know, we feel like it's a do-or-die situation, even though it probably isn't. But, you know, we're embracing it that way.
And this was Dustin Wolf, and he was asked the same question by you.
I don't think the challenge is necessarily about St. Louis. It's about the guys here in the room and, you know, the effort we want to put on the ice for 60 minutes. No, we can't control what goes on over there. We can obviously hope for outings to go our way, but at the end of the day, we got to take control of our own destiny here, get 2 points every night, and kind of just see where things take us.
And a lot of good words there from Kadri and Wolf, but what's been more impressive is that, okay, they're also backing it up with the way they're approaching things, the way they're flushing games, the way that the last game they're being really adamant that, hey, that doesn't really matter. We won this game, but we got a big challenge against Dallas. Or, you know, we won that game in overtime, great end of the road trip. We got to focus on starting off this, you know, quick little homestand well. And I think they're putting their money where their mouth is right now as well.
I couldn't agree more. And I think it's so crucial, not only as the Blues continue to clip along, and we'd be crazy to expect anything other than an eighth straight victory against the Nashville Predators tomorrow. But the Calgary Flames are going into another one of those, and I feel like such a broken record because we talk about this every week, but they're going into another one of those stretches that you're going to learn a lot about the team and their chances, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you look at their next four. And you've got Dallas at home, albeit in the second half of a back-to-back for the visitors. And then you've got Edmonton, albeit a team that's going to be without some star power. And then you've got Colorado and Utah on a back-to-back of your own. That's a hell of a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it feels like we keep talking about a hell of a stretch every few days, doesn't it?
Yep.
And it's a group that, every time we think, oh, maybe this is the stretch that makes them go away, they've found a way to withstand that.
Yep.
And I just think they deserve a ton of credit for it.
To the text line we go at 960-960. This reads from Nathan. I was team tank. Now I'm team playoffs. So certain people are starting to be even some converts being made down the stretch here.
I was just going to ask you, you have a great handle on this as, you know, someone who's connected post game with the fans the way you do. Are we seeing many converts?
We're seeing them. Yep.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the regular callers, you're hearing a lot of that.
Okay.
And a lot of the regular texters, same thing.
I mean, we can operate, I'm sorry, a little bit in a bubble in the job that we do, but I find it hard not to get wrapped up in what this team is doing.
Yeah, I mean, and at this point,
you're not sliding into the top 10.
Well, it's not even that. Like, I don't know. Like, I know I don't have any control. I have zero control of what happens on the ice. I have zero, unless I go and you know, start trying to kick a bunch of guys in the knee to try to force some injuries, which I have typically not been known to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have any control in terms of what happens on the ice. I believe that it's doesn't matter what I say or what I like. We don't have any control. And so I just kind of sat back and been like, let's see what this team does. Let's see what they do. And let's see what it means in the long term as well. Like, what could this mean for young player X or young player Y? What could this mean for Mackenzie Weegar, who doesn't have a ton of NHL playoff experience? But I don't know. Mackenzie Weegar strikes me as a guy who's built for the postseason, just the way he goes about his business. So, yeah, I think there are some converts right now.
Yeah.
Robin Coldale, come on, Wes. Blues are no wagon. They're just hot and about to cool off. Here's a cynical text.
I mean, temporary wagon? 7 in a row?
Seems fair.
Maybe we're splitting hairs now.
This reads, we all know this season's going to end with the worst possible outcome that could have happened from the start of the year. Mushy middle for life. That's Flames hockey. That's a very cynical text. This says, I got to ask, with them being only 4 points out and having 3 games in hand, how are Calgary's chances so low? Because in this situation they're in and the way they've been with the situation they're in and the way they've been playing, I'm feeling good about the Flames right now. And I just responded that the both Money Puck and Hockey Reference, they use some analytics, they use some remaining strength of schedule, they use kind of recent play, they use who's available in your lineup, all those types of things. It's a decently complicated algorithm that ends up in doing this.
I know that this maybe wouldn't be a key part of their algorithm, but the Flames' goal differential compared to the other teams that are hanging around is quite glaring.
Yes, also that. Ray says, all in for this team. How can you not cheer for the effort they have witnessed this year? More heart than talent. From Kadri's comments at the beginning of the year to the no quit we've seen in the comebacks, this season has been fun. Derek in Edmonton, from the beginning, I wasn't expecting a cup run. All I wanted to see was a team that would compete every night and make a good game to watch and not something fans wanted to turn off their TV over before the end of games. So far this season has provided that, and if they make the playoffs and can win a game or two, at least as an underdog, I'll be content with however the year finishes. Gord says, actually, that's no offense to Gord, not really on topic with what we're talking about. Tony in Calgary says, anytime you can win out and be in, you should feel good about your chances. Do you think St. Louis players and coaches prepare their position where their fate isn't completely in their control? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that St. Louis is happy where they are or likes where they are. I think Calgary likes where they are right now. I think that's a safe way of putting it.
Yeah, and both teams, it's what is going to make it so fun to watch. You know, the Blues, if they don't slow down, are going to make things really difficult, obviously. But the Flames, because of those games in hand, and if you check the schedule, that situation sort of maintains right to the end. Like the Flames, when the Blues are down to 2 regular season games remaining, the Flames will still have 4. And so those, even if the gap stays at 4 points, those games in hand are going to be cashed in so late that they're going to have every reason to still feel good about themselves as well.
Hey guys, just tuned in. You may have discussed it already, but the way I see it, it's more likely the Flames catch Minnesota than St. Louis. The Wild have injury troubles, have a tougher remaining schedule, play against the Flames once more. Gaming it out, the Flames would have to go 8-4 and the Wild 4-5-1. Where will those losses come from? Cap Stars, Canucks, Flames, a desperate Isles squad perhaps, and then an overtime loss somewhere in there. Likely, no, but let this Flames fan have hope. I definitely know that people have started to circle in on the Wild as a team that, you know, either St. Louis or Calgary or both could catch down the stretch.
Yeah, they should be looking in their rear view. Absolutely.
Doesn't this amazing hockey culture and happiness within the Flames going to help recruiting this summer to add to their team? I don't know how much recruiting they're going to do, to be perfectly honest with you. We'll see if Sam Bennett makes it to unrestricted free agency, but I don't know if this is going to be a huge recruitment summer for the team.
But I would say if they decide to go into recruitment, oh, absolutely. I mean, this team, and I know this isn't what everyone wants to hear, but they're showing that they're more competitive than many expected them to be. And so if they had the season that many were projecting and you're trying to recruit from a 24th place finish, I think it's a little bit of a different ballgame.
If the Flames end up making it, they'll have earned it with the Blues and Canucks not giving them any room for error. Even if they miss this season's youth growth and franchise direction, could be more valuable than the difference between a 14th pick and a 28th pick. This says, if the Flames end up making it, they'll have earned... I already read that one. This from Heath, sorry. To the ones that are cynical out there, playoff games are typically close, meaning scores are 2-1 or 3-2. Flames group will be used to that, and from what I remember, you just have to play 600 hockey ultimately for success. There's just a few of the texts at 960 on this Wednesday edition of Flames Talk.
And I think our loyal listeners know this, but I'll just remind, because we talk so much about how their finish impacts their draft capital, the Calgary Flames are still taking two first round picks to the draft. I shouldn't say taking them to the draft because I think they're staying home from the draft this year because of
the virtual draft. They're in concept to draft day.
But I think it is a positive that no matter what happens, you've got two first rounders up your sleeve as well.
Yep. It's Pat and Wes. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. And can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Well, look who's back after a quick hiatus for a couple of weeks. We are very happy to welcome back our Pacific Division insider. It's time to say hello to Jonathan Davis from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. Mr. Davis, welcome back to the program.
Pat, it's great to be back. Sorry, I guess I need to plan my travel schedule a little bit better.
Yeah, both days he was flying on a Wednesday, both days. I'm on the plane again. It's so totally okay. I'm glad we could reconvene this week. And boy, I mean, we're getting down to it. There's lots of intrigue at the top of the Pacific Division. Obviously, a couple Pacific teams fighting tooth and nail to get into the playoffs in the wild card slotting. So let's dive right in and let's start in SoCal. As the LA Kings are trying to maybe see if they can lock down number two, maybe put a little bit of heat on Las Vegas for number one, but nonetheless, a very good home team. They've got a very home-heavy schedule down the stretch, don't they?
They do. I mean, it's 12 games left or 11 games left, eight at home. And what, the second-best home record in the NHL. It's crazy. I mean, I'm still just trying to figure out like how the game isn't any different on the road. I understand it's not your building, but you know, it's not like Vegas where you can have the excuse that, for having a great home record that guys are potentially at the tables all night. Like it's never been this dominating, 26-3-4 on home ice and just 14 wins in 37 road games. It is crazy.
Yeah, it's been something to see if the Kings can make that or use that to their advantage. They're two up on Edmonton. They have two head-to-head games left with the Oilers. How do you see that battle specifically playing out?
Well, I think a lot of that depends upon the health of Batman and Robin. I mean, if Connor and Leon aren't in there, then obviously, that changes a lot. It makes it, gives LA a great opportunity to come away with 4 points and, essentially, lock up the division. So I think, a lot of it has to do with the health of those two. And, look, Evander Kane, I guess we're not going to see until the playoffs. The one thing that was concerning to me in listening to reading the quotes from Knobloch today is that, Connor just seems that he's going to be out longer than Leon. And that would be a little concerning.
Yeah.
But the two games of LA, I mean, you've got the game, you've got April 5th. So we're already talking 10 days from now. And then the second meeting is the second last game of the year for Edmonton on April the 14th. And for Edmonton, like they're going to play LA on the back end of a back-to-back after playing Winnipeg the night before. Now, that game for Winnipeg, that may be a game where guys get rested. It'll be interesting to see, as we get further down to games, 79, 80, 81, 82, teams like Winnipeg do have that luxury to rest key players. So, but nonetheless, for Edmonton, it will be the back end of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm. In Vegas, a first for a member of the Golden Knights as Vegas rolled over Minnesota on Tuesday. That would be Jack Eichel.
Yeah, I think that deal's worked out well for the Golden Knights. Hit the 90-point plateau, the first ever Golden Knight to do so. Pat, I mean, I said earlier in the year that he's playing like a guy that should be involved in the MVP conversation. He doesn't put up the numbers of a Connor or Leon or Kucherov or McKinnon. He doesn't have, you know, that same pizzazz to his game. Just really good and just, you know, the quintessential 200-foot player Eichel has become since coming to Vegas. And, you know, he's got a chance at getting to the 30-goal mark again this year. He had a hat trick, you know, last night. And this is a crazy thing with Vegas. Pat, three of the last four games, someone on the Golden Knights has recorded a hat trick. You've had Hurdle, Dorofiev, and Eichel last night. You know, that's pretty crazy. I mean, it just, again, goes to the depth of where this team is. And now they don't have Hurdle. He's not on this road trip, got hurt in that game in Tampa on Sunday. And I think, you know, we haven't really heard much other than the fact that, you know, he wasn't going to play on the road trip, the three-game road trip for the Golden Knights.
Let's finish when looking at the top three teams in the division. Let's finish in Edmonton. We did get a little bit of an update on the status of both Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid on Wednesday morning. What did we find out?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, it seems that Leon is going to be, you know, he was on that week-to-week. He could be back sooner than later. I don't know if, you know, would the earliest be the Calgary game on Saturday? Maybe we go past that. But Connor, you know, I get the sense, just trying to read the tea leaves, that, you know, we're still about four, you know, maybe another four or five games away from him returning. So that would be a little, you know, there's definitely some concern. I mean, I know that there's, you know, the concept that, hey, he needs the rest. This is great. And I'm sure it is. But whatever this injury is for McDavid, you know, I always, for any player that doesn't have an injury that's like a broken bone, you know, if it's a non-contact injury, those are the ones that tend to kind of nag for an extended period of time.
It sure has been a nice little opportunity for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, though. Hey, like, he has absolutely killed it in their absence.
Well, yeah, and look, they need it because, you know, it's three-point games in the last four. It was about 2 or 3 weeks ago that Nugent-Hopkins was 125th in league scoring, and he was the third highest scoring forward, you know, on the Edmonton Oilers. You know, just kind of gives you an idea of, you know, how and why this team has not been able to put up, you know, the same type of numbers that they had a year ago. But, you know, whether it's Nugent Hopkins or Hyman, you know, these guys, you know, the players have struggled. And so what we've seen in the last, you know, game and a half, for instance, is Nugent Hopkins getting far more ice time. I mean, you've got that dynamic first line of Nugent Hopkins, Arvidsson, and Podkolzin. I mean, that's got to be putting the fear into teams around the league. But other guys, you know, like Skinner is getting, you know, he's had more ice time, you know, this, you know, in this last game and a half than he's had all season. So it's allowing, it's got to be a big boost to these guys. You know, now they have a chance to make a case for themselves come playoff time. Because, hey, look, you four guys are going to come out of that lineup definitely come the start of the playoffs when you have McDavid, you have Draisaitl, you've got Trent Frederick, and you've got Evander Kane. So here's an opportunity for guys further, you know, down the lineup, like a Skinner, like an Arvidsson, and maybe more so Skinner, to, you know, to claim a spot come playoff time.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting with Jonathan Davis. He is our Pacific Division insider. He joins us Wednesdays on Flames Talk to spin around the Pacific Division. A couple more stops before we wrap up today, JD, and that's in Vancouver. Canucks are hanging tight as best as they can in this playoff battle as well. But the math for them trying to track down a wild card spot isn't necessarily in their favor, is it?
Yeah, it's not. It really isn't good. And I'm sure everyone in Calgary is not crying any rivers for them, and the violins aren't out. And but look, they're 5 points back of what the Blues. They're 1 point back of you guys. Now they've got games in hand on St. Louis and two on St. Louis and one on Minnesota. They're going to have to. I mean, they pretty much have to win 11 games left. They've got to come away with 17. I think at least 17 points out of the last 22 to at least give them a shot. I don't see any other way. Now, look, the way Minnesota is playing, it's funny because I think everyone was concerned. I think you guys and Vancouver and Utah were trying to hunt down maybe the second wild card position. Well, the St. Louis Blues may now be the first wild card team, and the Wild could end up being the team that either finishes wild card two or, Pat, even falls out. So, but Vancouver, look, yeah, like I said, they've got 22 points left on the board. I think they need 17 to even have a chance to make the playoffs.
And the way they're scoring, or in their case, not scoring, the injuries that they're dealing with, they have at the very least gotten Thatcher Demko back, and he's starting on Wednesday night against the New York Islanders. But it does feel like a pretty uphill climb for the Canucks. Hey, like it just they've been beat up. It hasn't been their year all year long, and doesn't really feel like it's all of a sudden going to turn for them like perhaps it has for the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, and the Blues are just a super fun team to watch. I mean, man, they did a job in the Canadiens last night. And Martin St. Louis, I loved his post-game last night where basically called his team's performance was essentially dog crap.
Yes, yeah.
Just had one of those games, yeah. Which, you have them. I mean, but whatever,
Okay, now last question. Yeah. Remember the market you're in. And it seems like you're on the right track for how people in this market are thinking. But you, of course, NHL Network and VSiN, VSiN Sports. So you're all over on betting lines and trends and so on and so forth. And your eyes are the same as mine in that everywhere you look, the betting odds for the Calder Trophy still have San Jose superstar or potential future superstar Macklin Celebrini as the best betting odds for the Calder Trophy. Why is he the betting favorite? Because I'm the same way. Like he's an he's got minus odds. Everybody else is plus odds. I don't quite understand where the odds makers are coming from on this one.
I really don't. So I'm just pulling them up now. I want to make sure that I'm looking at the right numbers here. So I'm here on FanDuel. I hope that's not like, doing anything to any of your sponsors. But Macklin Celebrini, you got to lay 120 to win 100. Lane Hutson, you got to lay 110 to win 100. Dustin Wolf, you can bet 100 to win 2,800. I'm like, are you? Thank you.
So Dustin Wolf, free money to me. Dustin Wolf plus 280?
28, yeah, plus 28 to 1 are the odds on Dustin Wolf to win Rookie of the Year. That is insane. Like, I'm telling everybody, you've got to bet that.
Yeah.
Look, if you want to tell me that he's the third choice right now, I'm good. I mean, I'm not, but I am. But he can't be, these guys essentially can't be like even close to even money. And Dustin Wolf is 28 to 1. Mm-hmm. If the Flames make it into the playoffs, he has to be Rookie of the Year. Even if they miss by a point or two, to me, he's still Rookie of the Year. I'm in a Calgary market, so no one's going to be going, you're crazy. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand it. It's like, both these guys are having fantastic years. I mean, Hudson's he's third on the team in scoring. He's second on the team for minutes for defensemen. This is not taking a shot at either one of these guys, but I've got someone in Dustin Wolf that's playing, arguably the most important position. He's got more. The thing that this was pointed out to me today, and I'm sure for you, you guys already know, but he's got more wins in fewer games than Markstrom did last year.
Yeah.
So what, one more win than Markstrom did, and he's done it in five less games. And I would, you know, I should hear your opinion. The blue line that he's got this year is not as good, at least on paper, as what Markstrom had last year.
Very true. Almost impossible to argue that. And I'm just, what are we missing? I don't know, man. Like I'm looking, and now this article is from March 21st, so a few days ago. But on March 21st, it was Celebrini minus 145, Hudson plus 110, and Dustin Wolf plus 1900. I can't find the odds that on the site that I usually use to confirm where they are today. But
a month ago, I had Dustin Wolf at 8-1, and I thought that was a great price.
Jeez.
Okay,
if I could get him at plus 1900, yeah, that's a worthy number to throw down.
Because I was telling people that wanted to bet the Flames a month ago to make the playoffs, so don't bet him to make the playoffs. Bet Dustin Wolf to win the Rookie of the Year, because if they make the playoffs, he's winning Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me that's where things are right now.
But I just think, look, I think that this is more about I've made some calls to people today around the league just to say, hey, look, am I crazy? Like, people have votes and they're saying, well, no, I mean, it shouldn't be 28-1. I mean, like, everyone's saying grab it. And I didn't have anyone that made a strong case, you know, an overwhelming case for Celebrini. I definitely got the feeling that, you know, just as we've been saying, that Wolf, even if they don't make the playoffs, he is Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I mean, Celebrini is, I love watching him play, and both these guys. I mean, you're glued. At least I am. When they're on the ice, I'm glued to watching what they do. But yeah, no, this is So people, if you like, you know, if you like buying lottery tickets, you normally don't, you know, normally not a sports bettor. I become a sports bettor for this, because I think your chances of winning your money are a lot greater in this than winning any lottery. And that's just too good a price.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you. Well, my friend, it's good to have you back. It is good to have you back on the program. It's good to have you back throwing things down around the Pacific Division. We'll do it again next Wednesday, see where things sit in this Pacific Division playoff race in 1 week's time. For now, enjoy your night. Thanks, JD.
All right, you too. Take care.
Jonathan Davis, Pacific Division insider from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Wes Gilbertson on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson, Cam Hughes, Shan Virgie are outstanding producers this hour, and this hour has been the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.